Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, shalom. Boker tov, good morning. I hope everything is good with you. I hope that this week has been a blessing for you. Changes, shifts, developments. Welcome, you are here. It is the Abracadabra Show, Create What You Speak. I'm Ilan Azulay, I'm your host. I'm a sound healer and a spiritual mentor and a coach for women who desire to reclaim the power. And their power, not over somebody, but their inner power, a power where you can express yourself, especially after a separation, a divorce, a time where you come to a what appears to be a dark place, and it could be a negative space that you are in after a negative experience, a traumatic event, separation, loss of job. And the time here is for us to discover, for us to explore different ways to navigate, but not navigate from a place of escape, rather from a place of looking at what is and discovering the new opportunities that lay at each step of the way. And especially today, this week, is a very, very perfect time to talk about this, as tomorrow is Tu Bishvat, the 15th day of the month of Shvat. Before that, we start with a daily prayer to remind that everything comes, starts, and ends with love. Hareini mekabel al atzmi et mitzvat ase shel ve'ahavta lereacha kamocha. I hereby accept on myself the utterance or the due commandment of love your neighbor, friend, partner, anybody in front of you in the same way that you express love to yourself. Again, emphasis is on first to ourselves and then to give to, and then we can give to others from what we have. So why do I bring the information about tomorrow? This is actually, this is really a good place to look at how the creation, how God created, how the world is built for us, so we can learn from everything, from nature, the plantation or the animals. And so tomorrow is the new year of the trees. And so this is the time where, this is the month of where the trees, the plants, they're blooming after months of sleeping and cold, and now blooming. And really this is also the time in nature where the sap starts going up the trees, everything is starting to come to life. You know, during the winter, the trees shed their leaves, and everything looks as if it's really lifeless. You know, this is it's like the darkest places that we have sometimes where we go there. So this is really showing us we can learn a lot from nature. And so after these months of sleeping, after these months of what appears to be dead or what appears to be lifeless, things are starting to grow again. And so this is the new year. This is the new year of the tree, the head of the year. Just like there is the head of the year in September that is specifically talking for our years, our seed planting that will help our it will help the rest of the year for us. The same thing here it is for the trees. This is where everything is renewed. Everything is coming back to life. And what is implanted in here to show us is cycle, is rebirth, is going through things, going through tribulations, going through growing through hard times and coming out of it. Because after a period of time, there'll be a different period of time. After a certain period of time, maybe of struggles or challenges, there are coming these times where they're not going to be the challenges, where we pick the fruits of all the work that we've done on ourselves. In the Torah, or if you don't know what the Torah is, it's the Bible or the Old Testament, some of you may know. There is a sentence that says, the man is like the tree in the field. And the sages learned from it a great deal about how that is implemented in our daily life, how we can learn from that to our daily life. And many times we come into places of darkness, of sadness. Many times you go out of a relationship, or you're ending you're out of a job, or any other things that are causing traumatic experiences. You're in dark places, you're in low places, you feel that everything is closing down on you. Now the Torah says, look at the tree, look at nature. Look at how the tree is. Everything is a cycle. Now, beyond that, because we are spiritually on a higher level than plants, so there are more aspects to that, and we can take different aspects into how we proceed in our daily life. But it is to say that what we see, what is tangible, is easy to see. There are many, what is on the outside, like when you look at a tree, you look at the trunk, you don't see the roots, we see the trunk. And when the tree is sleeping or in the winter, we may think that the tree is dead if we would know that there is that there are seasons. But the roots are underneath, so we don't see that. And what keeps us going many times is the environment that we are in. The environment that we are nourishing ourselves with, especially when we go through traumatic events. Who are we surrounding ourselves with? And so the environment is really supporting our growth for our next phase. Like the tree, if there will be a period of time where we water the plant, where we water the tree, water the tree, it'll grow and succeed and get branches out. But if we don't, then we know what will happen. So it's the same thing. It's remember, you're like a tree. There is a cycle. And we do things towards what is our goal. And that comes into the growth cycle. It comes into our life. It circulates into our life. And then we can continue and know that there is a cycle to everything that happens in our lives. And so everything is, while the physical is visible, and it's talking only about the physical, what we can see, but from that space, we can learn to our daily life, to our spiritual existence, because we are, as humans, we are elevated than the animals and than the plants and the animal world. Not in a where. In a negative connotation, but that is just how we are built. We have everything that the plants and the animals have on a spiritual level, but on top of that, we have the speech, which is divine, which is where sound comes in, which is why we are, as human beings, we are made of frequencies. So this is the next level of how we can, this is the next level of our existence, and the plant world is what we can learn from to our daily lives. Okay, so let's take a few steps back a little bit and see why are all these things happening in nature? Why is the tree shedding its leaves? Right? I mean, it's when the time shifts from summer to starting to autumn and winter, the days are getting shorter. And what the tree needs for the leaves, it needs the light and the heat, right? The photosynthesis process, that it needs the light and the heat. So when we move from the summer to autumn, the days are getting shorter, so there is less light and so less heat. So going from that, the leaves are shedding, and then what we call in Hebrew shalechet, from the word to remove, but more like shedding, not just taking something off, but shedding, shalechet. And on the outside, the tree appears to be dead. It appears to be dead because there's no leaves, a naked tree. And this is like when sometimes we come to a place of low place. You asked for a job, you didn't get it, you feel, oh, I failed, or this didn't work for me. But you know, by looking at nature, by looking at a tree, that this too is going to come to pass. There are going to be better times because it's a cycle. And so it is to be encouraged that whatever, wherever you are now, it is a preparation for the next step. It is a preparation for the abundance to come, or for the next lesson, or for the opportunity that is there. And the next song to touch on this subject is called Ki Ha'adam Etz HaSadeh. Man is like a tree in the field. Ki Ha'adam Etz HaSadeh, Shalom Chanoch.
כי האדם עץ השדה, כמו האדם גם העץ צומח, כמו העץ האדם נגדע, ואני לא יודע איפה הייתי ואיפה אהיה. כמו עץ השדה, כי האדם עץ השדה, כמו העץ הוא שואף למעלה, כמו האדם הוא נשרף באש, ואני לא יודע איפה הייתי ואיפה אהיה. כמו עץ השדה אהבתי וגם שנאתי, טעמתי מזה ומזה, קברו בחלקה של עפר, ומר לי בפה. כמו עץ השדה, כמו עץ השדה, כי האדם עץ השדה, צמא למים כמו האדם הוא נשאר צמא ואני לא יודע איפה הייתי ואיפה אהיה כמו עץ השדה
song Shalom Chanoch. so back to the steps let's go to the winter stage. We go through these stages of being down. Somebody went, got a job, asked for a job, went for an interview, didn't get that. Wanted to open a business, tried, didn't work. Met somebody, you tried, that didn't work. You know, those kind of things, you separated, there was a separation. The traumatic events, those kind of things can be very harsh, can be taking the toll on us, you know, and when you go through so many things, maybe even in a short period of time, the first instinct that can come is shame. It's shame that it didn't work out, or the work didn't, you didn't receive the work, your partnership didn't last. There's a lot of things that can come up. Especially if the relationship that you've left is a toxic, or there's a lot of shame that can come up. What would people say? And yes, we know we can talk about, well, what people say isn't, what people think is none of our business, and we can. It's a process to get there. It is a wonderful place to be in, where you can feel that what you do and how you think and who you are and expressing yourself is not contingent on based what other people think or say. That's later on. But in this place, you can feel shame. Out of that, you can have frustration. So there's the shame, and then there is the frustration, and the frustration can lead to a very low self-esteem place, self-doubt. You know, if you're being criticized a lot, and you grew up with being criticized, and this is what you face, and this is what you experience, and you go to work, and you're being criticized there, and in the relationship you're being criticized, that can lead to frustration, can lead to loss of self-esteem, a lot of self-doubt in what you do and how you do. And until, you know, a situation like this can lead to a very detrimental places, if you're not being helped, or you don't have anybody to to guide you. And so this is where the environment, again, is very important. Where, who you surround yourself with. Who you surround yourself with. Who are the people that you seek advice from? Who are the people that are supporting you? Are the people that are supporting you really supporting you, or are there any hidden agendas that maybe because of the state that you're in, it is hard to see? Not to say, but especially if it is not a loved person within your inner circle, within your closer circle to support you, it can be a situation where you have somebody from the outside where their interest, where you are not at their best interest. So just to be aware of that, specifically in this place, specifically in places of loneliness or feeling down, or even being in a place of anger, which is another side of what this can lead to. With the frustration and shame and being judged and being that can lead to eventually for somebody to just absorb, and then explode. And so there is an anger element here that can put you in a tight spot with yourself. And so when you're in that place, shame and frustration and anger, slowly you can come to a place of low self-esteem. And this is where, again, to look at everything that is around us, everything that is here, the plant world, the circulation, just like the tree, the cycle, just like the tree, where the tree appears to be dead. It's just the appearance. It's the appear to be dead. It appears to be lifeless. But this is a cycle. This is a cycle for us to remember that everything after the shalechet, after the shedding of the leaves, there is the rebirth. There is the head of the year. There is the new year. There is the new cycle. And this winter and this period of time is a period of shedding things, of seeing what really doesn't serve and letting go. And this is what we had, and now we're blooming. You know, there is the and that was very interesting. There is the V sign. You know, when people mark V, when victory comes from the Queen Victoria, and means victory, to overcome. And this is why it's being used. Sometimes I feel it's being used not for its own purpose, but I'm thinking about terrorists when they use the symbol V. You know, yes, it appears to be a victory, but there is no victory there. There is really just, but that's a whole different thing. But what is happening here? How is that victory? How is it comprised? How do you reach that victory? How do you reach that how do you overcome? So what do you have in the V? If you look at the letter V, you have two tops, two hills, two mountains. But what do you have in the bottom? You have a very deep valley. And it is really hinting and saying you have to be in that valley of shadows before you can ascend. You have to experience this. It doesn't mean that you cannot be on top. It doesn't mean that you have to experience it to be on top, right? Some people have that and can be in a place where it appears that they don't have to go through that. But if you don't go through that, the top that you reach, the top that you are at, is not really a top, because you really didn't earn it. And earning it is going through it. It's like the menu in the restaurant. You can know everything about the dish from A to Z, what spices you have there and what's going on there. But you will really not, you won't really know the dish until you taste it. And this is the same thing. What is the sentence to taste victory? To taste the victory. You have to taste it. You have to go through these places. To these places in you where you slowly recognize or fast recognize and understand what it is to be victorious, what it is to come to the top. It is you have to be in that place, to be in that shadow, and to see all those fears that come up, the shame, the self-doubt, and slowly to discover the light that is in you, the light that is in you to come up to the top of the mountain. So if you are doing something, if you did a project, if you you didn't get a job, you know, many times in places of low self-esteem or frustration, you may say, "Oh, I'm a failure. I can't do that. I'm like that. Oh, it's a lost cause. I don't get this." Or when people say, "Oh, I'm not technical," or it's not that you are a failure. Maybe you didn't succeed in receiving something. Maybe you've failed passing a test, but you are not a failure. There was a task that you attempted and you did, and maybe you can learn from that to see what you didn't do this time that you can do the next time. So you are not a failure. It is maybe that test that you failed, or that, but you are not a failure. You know, I sometimes, if I want to show something to somebody over an electronic device, I automatically dismiss saying, "Oh, I'm not good at that," or "Oh, I'm technically challenged." It's like a sentence that they offer before even seeing what it is, before seeing the device, or before seeing what needs to be done. Or and it's not that they don't understand the concept, but it is automatically a predisposition place where say, "Oh, I'm not technically savvy. I don't get that." But in reality, in what is, it is a very simple task. It is a very simple task, not with any algorithms or any of those things. Just it's a very simple task. But what is happening, we already preconditioned ourselves to say, "Oh, we're not good at one thing. Oh, we're not good at the other thing. Oh, we're not good at the third thing." Now, if somebody doesn't know how to hold a pitch when they sing, that's a whole different issue. I mean, you need also a skill, or maybe to develop that skill. But it is not you. It is not you that you are a failure. It is not you that it's just this thing that you cannot do, or you can't do yet. But what is happening is, instead of saying, "Okay, well, hey, let me see, maybe now it's different. Maybe now I can get it, right? Maybe now this task is not as, oh," and that will be a nice soft opening to a world that up until now you close yourself for. You close yourself to. So you are not a failure. Don't give up. It's always going through these valleys that will bring us back on top. So you don't give up. You're in a place, you know, things are going to change. Things are going to shift, and you are going to learn from this experience and hopefully learn for the next step. It's like a kid, like a baby that starts to learn how to walk, starts getting up, walk 2-3 steps, the left foot gets stuck in the right foot, he falls. If you say, "Oh, I'm a failure, I'm not going to do this again," he'll be sitting until he's 30. But, you know, he continues, he gets up, he learns. So now he may fall after 4 steps, but his walking is a little bit more precise. And so everything is a cycle. Everything is a cycle, and the not giving up is understanding that you have the tools. And now you also have the access to the tools. There is a sentence that King Solomon said. He said, "Sheva pa'amim yipol tzadik v'kam," which means 7 times a righteous person will fall and will get up. So the question is, well, if he's falling so many times, if he's falling so many times, how do you call him a righteous or a successful person? Let's shift the word to word successful, because in the successful, I want to incorporate the spiritual growth and the materialistic growth and everything. And everything is here for us. Seven times a successful person will fall and rise. Well, if he fell so many times, what is so successful about that? Well, if he fell so many times, why are you calling him successful? Or why are you calling him righteous? Or why are you calling him a spiritual person if he fell so many times? And in one of the letters and from our sages, really says that people think, some people will think that the word that I explain now, that, oh, how come the person that fell so many times and you still consider him the way that you consider him? And the answer is that through these times. And the reason 7, by the way, 7 is in Kabbalah, is by way of nature, is a continuation, is a cycle. Look at everything, a cycle in the week, 7 days, a seventh year, you don't plant in Judaism, but everything is 7, 7 days, 7 years. You have, it's a cycle. But also the number 7 has to do the synergy between the number 8 and the number 6 in Gematria. The number 8 is the spiritual only the spiritual aspect. Hence also the infinity sign. If you flip 8 on its side, and number 6 is only material. Number 6 is everything materialistic, fire, everything here. Everything materialistic. 7 is the synergy, and it is the nature of things. It's the balance and the harmony between 8 and 6. Some people will be too much in the spirituality and lose touch and grounding here, and the other way around, where somebody is too grounded or too physical or too materialistic, that there is no connection. Apparently, there is no connection. What appears to be that there is no connection between their physical and their spirituality. And so 7 times will fall a righteous person, successful person, and will rise. And it is through these fallings that you will rise. So this is something that we can take for us. It is through these bumps in the road, through these what appears to be failures, that we rise. We cannot go through these and swim through everything and fly through everything like nothing happened and, oh, we arrived. No, it is through these places of difficulties, through these challenges. And this is where, you know, when we say God is everywhere. Say God is everywhere, right? Or everything here is energy. Everything is around us here. Everything is around. Everything moves. Everything has life. Everything has energy. So when we say God is in everywhere, God is especially the creation, the divinity, the divine energy is especially located within our difficulties, within our challenges. Because why? Because these challenges are here to help us grow. Well, actually, when we say help, it's like they're doing a secondary job. But no, they're doing a very primary job. To help us go through what we think we cannot go through. In the separation, we think we cannot go through this. We think we cannot succeed. We don't seem to see the light at the end of the tunnel. We think that that is it. Everything is detrimental, black and white, kaput, gone, kishta, gurnished, nothing. And it is the illusion. Everything is here for us. Everything is here to strengthen us. It's like going to the gym. The arm wants to go up. I want to build my biceps. The arm wants to go up. The weight wants to pull down. But through the resistance, I build myself up. And this is the thing. So everything is here through the challenges. Through the challenges that we experience, you grow, you open things up. Things, concepts are coming to you. You try to think out of the box. You have a situation. You have a sunnah. How are you going to change? How are you going to maneuver through this? How are you going to navigate all that is happening here? And so when we are in these challenges, I want to segue to a place where we can reach when we are in these places, when we are in these tests, if you will, or challenges. And one of them is anger. How do you deal with this? With this anger that sometimes if you are used to that, I mean, it's like a muscle that you develop. You know, somebody didn't have the experience of practicing a lot of anger, so to speak. You know, grew up in a very nurturing environment and taken care of and work through life and everything. There is not a lot of anger, but some people have to go through this and are going through this. And it is hard. For some people, it's harder. Your journey is different than my journey, and different than your ex journey, and different than your husband's journey, different than your wife's journey. So how do you deal when you come to a place of anger? How do you come out of that cycle? Now it's not going to be resolved in 2 seconds here, but this is just something to trigger, to kind of poke your points of imagination. So there is a sentence in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is in the ethics of our fathers, which is the first written oral law. And one of the sentences there says, do not please a person at the time of their anger. And that continues to go more with other things that, but in pertaining to this issue, do not please a person at the time of their anger. When somebody gets into a place of anger and rage, the issues of why it is there and what traumatic events is a whole different story. But when somebody is in that place, when somebody is in a place of really anger and flying off the handle, and this is a time where a person, also according to the Gemara, is out of the world. When one of the stages, there are three stages that gets a person out of this world, literally. Out of this world, meaning out of your world, because a man, a woman, is like the entire world. The entire world is coded just like, or we are coded just like the entire world and vice versa. And when a person is angry, is out of this world, and anything that if you are with your partner and your partner was upset with you, or you are upset with your partner, or both of you, and you try and justify, or you try and give reasons. Yes, so you come home and you didn't come in time, and your partner was so upset at you, and whatever, something, even something trivial. First of all, if it's something trivial, then, and the person gets really upset about it, many times, most likely, there is something deeper than that that is sitting, and that was just the straw that broke the camel's back. But the person, you come home, and out of, appears to be nowhere, your wife or your partner is upset with you for not coming home. Don't try and please that person, because if you're trying to explain why this and why that, is just going to fuel it more. And because the person that is angry is not at their prime stage, let's put it this way, they're going to come back to their stage. So let that be of a passing, or let that be heard, because most of the time it's really a venting stage. It's nothing permanent. Many times people who are upset, they say that they are sorry and that they are recognizing where they've been and they're not happy about that, and this is a temporary place. Not to justify, not to take what damage that was done by the anger, but to remember that, especially if you're a partner, first of all, if you're in a partnership, the starting point needs always to be out of love and wanting the best for your partner. And if you go in this relationship in that place, then anything that happens is an obstacle. It's a 7 times a couple will fall and rise, right? Just like earlier, 7 times will a righteous person or a successful person will fall and will rise. It's because these difficulties that you become stronger, especially as a couple. So if the person is angry, let that person be. Let that person be. It is also allowing that person to feel that they are being heard. And I'm sure you guys, you have probably, you come home and your wife tells you something, or your partner, and you have, but you have the good answer. You have the, but this is the truth. You want to say the truth. This is what happened. It doesn't matter. The why really eventually doesn't matter. When we start thinking about the why, it is a little bit too late. Because the why doesn't matter, because the matter happened already. So you let the person be in that stage of anger and frustration, get it out, and you as the person in front, the way that you can help in this is to listen, not with your head. Listen, and then it is not that you should not say what you have to say. Not at all. It is to say what you have to say, but it is the when that you say what you want to say. And that again goes to the vibration that you get out of your voice, because when you're going to say what you want to say after the person is not angry and after the person calmed down, and also after you've calmed down from the partner that got upset, so you maybe triggered you a little bit, then your energy and then your vibrational quality is different. Then you're able to also articulate many times better and not fly off the handle, not just shoot answers like a ping pong, because you don't think about what you're saying. So when that person is in that place, let the person be. Give them the space, and then you can say what you want to say in a different place. As a couple, also, one more thing is that, you know, when you go to sleep, and you are, if you're going through the day and you had arguments, or you come to the evening and you had arguments, wasn't a positive space. Don't let the sun go down on your problems. Don't let the sun set on your problems. Meaning, don't go to sleep without resolving. Don't go to sleep without reconciling. Don't go to sleep without peace. Go to sleep with peace. Go to sleep with reconciliation. Those are some of the places that we can go through. These are the things that we experience that are the shalechet, that are the shedding of the leaves of the winter. And this is the time of blooming. This is the time of rejuvenation. And so to remember that through these challenges you grow, through these places, through these difficult times, that is where God is, that is where the creation is, that is where the beauty of the opportunities that can arise are. And why does a righteous person or successful person called that also after falling so many times? Because the person gets up. If you would go through these difficult times and you don't get up and you allow the fear and the things that are external and eventually seep inside and become internal, and you don't get up of that, then you are not called that, because you are not that. You are not there. You are still have to go through those challenges. But that is why he's called tzaddik, or that is why he's called successful, because he goes through these challenges, or she goes through these challenges, and you rise, and you come up. So, to remember, again, with nature, we are one with nature. Nature and the world was created for us. The Kabbalah says each person needs to look at the world as if the world is created for them, meaning for you specifically, for you individually, because everything that you see is exactly what's going on only for you. It is here for you. The way that it is presented to you, it is presented for you, the way that you see that. So, coming to a close of today. This has been exciting week, and it's exciting week to come. We eat also in Tu B'Shvat tomorrow. We eat also seven kinds of the seven fruits, the seven species that represent the seven qualities, right? And the fruits are in relation to the tree where we are. If a man is a tree of the field, and the fruit is the highest achievement of the tree, then there are seven fruits that are the crowning glory of the short human and botanical. So these are the seven kind of fruits and grains that the Torah says are example of fertility, of the land and of our actions. How does it reflect into our actions? That's the wheat, that's the barley, the grapes, the figs, the pomegranates, the olives, and the dates. And just to touch on two of them, in the Torah, the wheat is considered to be the most important human diet, whereas barley is mentioned as food characteristics of animals. So the wheat is representing the effort to nourish our unique element, our spirituality, our spiritual aspirations, and they're really the essence of our experience, of our humanity, because it's the spirit that holds the body. While barley is representing really the effort to nourish and to develop our animalistic and animal soul. And so, and the animal soul is representing what we're doing here in our daily life, in our needs, our desires. But to remember that what we're doing here is a reflection of our spiritual soul, our neshama. So there is the nefesh and there is the neshama. Now, just to say that it is not to say that we have to choose either or. It is not to say, oh, we're not. We need to let go of our physical for the spiritual, or vice versa. Actually, we cannot do. One cannot be without the other. It is through one that we get to the other. It is through the person that we get through the person near us, through the experiences on our daily, in our daily life, that we get to our spirituality, that our spiritual experience grows, that our understandings, that our breakthroughs, that our realizations of what we are to do comes through our physical experience, how we are handling stressful situations or what appears to be stressful. How are we handling this? How are we handling something that happened in a relationship? How are we responding to it? Are we responding or are we acting, reacting? So we'll continue this. We'll continue this next time. We are towards the end. And I want to send you today with many blessings. This is time of blooming. This is a time of rejuvenation. What you've been through, you had to go through to be in this place. Next Sunday, I'll have an herbal sound therapy at Follow Your Heart. We're incorporating sound frequencies, Jewish mysticism, Kabbalah, and tea, and the high tea that is a higher state of consciousness element that brings, this is a heart opener and body presence. And so it'll be really fun. So hopefully we'll see you. I'll put the link on my page. My page on Facebook is facebook.com/bodysoulsound. And on the web, bodysoulsound.com. I'm looking forward to seeing you again. Today it was a recorded show. I'm here inland in wonderful nature. And I will see you. Actually, I'll talk to you. I'll see you. Talk to you next week. We'll have an interesting show next week. We'll have a special guest next week. So stay tuned and have a wonderful week. Shalom, leitraot. Bye-bye.
listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay.